Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
You know, as we're worshiping the Lord this morning, you can be seated. I was thinking about this plant that is in my front yard, and it didn't make it. And I don't even know why. I was getting the same amount of water as the other plants, but sometimes it just, not every plant makes it. And I replaced it with a beautiful plant, and it's flowering now. And I was just thinking about that experience because I felt like the Lord was saying, I'm the one that knows how to plant life where there was loss. I really feel this strong in my heart. Maybe this is for you. Let me just prophesy this the way it's coming to me. For the Lord would say to you, you have felt the pain and you felt the sorrow and the loss. You've seen that which you had expectations for, that which you had hopes for, and it did not make it. But I, the Lord, am the God of new life. And I know how to bring life where there is death. I know how to bring forth my purpose even when you don't know what is next. You say, I don't know what step to take. But I would say to the Lord, receive my life. For this is a season when I am pouring out new life upon my people. This is a season where I'm filling in the holes, where I'm filling in the places of death with new life. And my glory and my grace is going to be more than sufficient for you. Do not look at the way it was, but have the eyes of faith to see what it will be as you surrender it to me. For in my hands, things will live that once were dead. And the Lord would say, I'm bringing forth fresh purpose for you in this season. So be willing to let go of the former things. Be willing to let go of the former season and enter into the new thing that I have for you. For I am planting my purpose. And yes, it may begin small. Do not despise the day of small beginnings, but allow it to grow and allow it to flourish. And I will cause that which once appeared to be so dead to be now filled with my life. The Lord says, I know how to bring resurrection. I know how to fill in that which is missing. I know how to complete the picture in your life. So trust in me during this season, for I am certainly moving. I am certainly planting something new in your heart, even this day, says the Lord. Watch and see what I will do as I bring forth something new for you, says the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, I don't know what that means to you, but I know this. I have faith that it can happen. So I want us to come to the Lord in prayer, and wherever there is a need in your heart, whatever the challenges in your life, I want you to use your faith right now just to receive what God has for you today. Would you just bow your heads with me? Father, in Jesus' name, we're in your presence, Lord. And I thank you that by the Holy Spirit, that which is dead comes alive, Lord. That which is empty gets filled. That which is old becomes new. Lord, I pray over your people right now in Jesus' name. I pray over their hurt. I pray over their emptiness. I pray over any pain or difficulty that's taking place in their life right now. Lord, I invite you to plant something fresh and new in their hearts today. Lord, may it blossom. May it spring forth. May something new and kind and glorious and joyful emerge, Lord, in this time, Father, for families, for homes, Lord, for singles, Lord, for those who are hurting physically today, for those who are hurting in their heart. Lord, just bring a whole new thrust of life into our empty place, Lord. We thank you for healing our broken place in Jesus' name. And everyone that agrees, say, amen. Amen. Now, would you tell the Lord you love him and give him a big hand clap this morning? And let's thank God for the worship team. Amen.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
All right, let's get our Bibles and our digital devices and our teaching outlines and all of our tools together so we can get into the Word of God. We are here in the sanctuary at Gateway City Church. Welcome. If you're listening in the cafe, I can't see you because the doors are closed, but I know you can see me. I'm glad you're joining us there. And if you're online, we're excited that you're joining us online today. There is a teaching outline that's available. It goes along with this teaching this morning. Now, you'll notice on today's teaching resource that it's dated November 15th, and today is not November 15th. Today is November 29th, but two Sundays ago, the Holy Spirit canceled this message and moved me in a different direction. So I don't want to say this is leftovers. How would I say this? This is a reburn of the message that I prepared for you and never gave to you 2 weeks ago. But I really do want to share this message with you about the Holy Spirit. We're in this series right now called The Helper, and it's about the Holy Spirit. And what we're trying to connect with right now in this series called The Helper is just one firm belief that is a part of my life. It's a part of my experience. And that is that a personal experience with the Holy Spirit is the most important aspect of living your life for Christ. A personal relationship, a personal experience with the Holy Spirit, where His power and what He does works in our lives to the maximum level that we can. That is the most life-changing dimension of our entire faith. And that's not just my experience, and that's not just, by the way, the experience of hundreds of millions of charismatics and Pentecostals around the world, because they believe that firmly. And listen, this is not some small belief system. This is the largest belief system on the earth, actually. Faith in the Holy Spirit, faith in the power of the Holy Spirit, is actually the largest belief system on the face of the earth. And the reason is, it's because it's real. And it's not just for charismatic people or Pentecostal people. The Holy Spirit is for all people. Can I have an amen? In fact, I love to hear Chuck Swindoll. He's not a what we would call a Pentecostal or charismatic minister, but I found something that he wrote in a book called Embraced by the Spirit. He wrote these words, and it just moved my heart. He said this: "I've come to realize that there are dimensions of the Spirit's ministry that I've never tapped, and places in this study about the Holy Spirit about which I know very little. I'm on a strong learning curve," he wrote. "I've witnessed a dynamic power in His presence that I long to know more of firsthand." Isn't that awesome? "I now have questions and a strong interest in many of the things of the Holy Spirit which I once felt were settled." In other words, coming from a non-Pentecostal, non-Spirit-filled background, he said, "You know, I thought I knew all the answers about the Holy Spirit, but," he said, "when I started to study this thing, I realized there's a lot more I need to know about the Holy Spirit." And he goes on. He says, "To say it plainly, I'm hungry for more of Him. I long to know God more deeply and more intimately." That's Chuck Swindoll in his book, Embraced in the Spirit. How many here in this room today could say, "I long to know the Holy Spirit more deeply and more intimately"? I do. I do. And I want to say that if you feel like something is missing in your life, if you feel like something is missing in your faith life, okay, it's not an experience. It's a person. It's the Holy Spirit. And as you draw close to the Helper, the person of the Holy Spirit, He's going to fill your life and change who you are. This morning, I want to just talk for a few minutes while we're together on the theme of the Holy Spirit working in us. And I want to teach on the fruits of the Spirit. And to do this, we're going to start in Galatians chapter 5 with the words of the Apostle Paul talking about the nature of the Holy Spirit and what He produces in the lives of the followers of Jesus Christ. So here it goes, Galatians 5:22 says, "The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives." Now, let's just stop right there, because I want to point out, who produces this kind of fruit in us? The Holy Spirit, okay? He does the work. Some of you are so exhausted. You're so tired of trying to do things, make your marriage better, make your world better, make your ministry work. You're exhausting yourself because you're doing it in your own strength. I have great news for you today. The Holy Spirit will do it. The good thing that God wants to do in your life, the Holy Spirit will do. Now watch. It says the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. And let's read this list together, okay, out loud. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and yeah, that's the last one, self-control. That's the very last one, right? That's the last one we get down. But those are the things the Holy Spirit produces inside our lives. Now, this is such an important list that one Sunday school teacher was teaching her children to memorize this list, memorize the fruits of the Spirit. And so she was drilling on them, and then the day came for them to recite it, and little Johnny took his turn. And she said, okay, Johnny, now you recite the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And so he got into this list and he said, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and remote control. I don't know if you could use some remote control or some self-control, but I like the way Johnny was looking at it. Notice, the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit is the one that does it. Now, if we hadn't got off track a week or two ago with the message on breaking the spirit of fear and saying no to fear, that was right after that terrorism broke out. And if I had had time to finish this series, I would have done a whole nother message besides today's message, which is on the fruit of the Spirit. I was planning to do a whole nother message on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that's a really important subject, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's something that Spirit-filled people know a lot about. We feel very at home in environments where the gifts of the Holy Spirit are moving, and things like miracles and faith and prophecy and all the beautiful gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I was preparing a message to do that, but I'm going to have to move on and come back to that later. But in order so that you wouldn't feel cheated out of that subject of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I want to make available just a quick teaching on it. If you will, just even right now on your iPhone or your device or when you get home, you can email us at info@gccsj.com and we'll send you an outline on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And this one is very good because it's a self-test. All right? So you would take this kind of like a survey, fill out this form, it's 2 or 3 pages, and it will help to guide you in discovering what your spiritual gift is, because every Christian has at least one spiritual gift. And I was going to talk about that, and I've run out of time here in November, and I can't do that. We'll get to that subject later. But if you want to know more about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you can send that email. But today, I want to talk to us good, Spirit-filled people, people that love miracles, people that love the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit people. I want to talk to us about something that I think is an important balance for us before we get real excited about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which are awesome. We also have to be excited about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Because the gifts of the Holy Spirit, while powerful, are flowing through us. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit that really makes us who we need to be. And I have found that sometimes we get more excited about things that are flashy and dynamic and powerful than we are about the actual deep work of the Holy Spirit that He longs to do in every one of our hearts. So we sing, come Holy Spirit, and sweet Spirit come, and we sing songs like that. And I think sometimes we're singing about revival, and we're singing about experiences. But another way to welcome the Holy Spirit is, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place right here. You are welcome in my character. You're welcome in my heart to change me, to make me what you want me to be. Now, why would I want anyone to change? Because when you change, the character of your marriage changes. The character of your friendships change when your heart changes. The way you work, the way you study, the way you relate to people around you, the way you experience life changes when you allow God to do a deep work inside your heart. Because, brothers and sisters, the real story is that the Christian life is an experience of God changing us and transforming our hearts and who we are from what we used to be to what he's making us. And there may be miracles that happen on the way and prophecies and all kinds of powerful things that we love and celebrate in this church. But if we get distracted by the gifts of the Spirit and we miss the fruit of the Holy Spirit and what he wants to do deep on the inside of us, we are missing a whole lot of what God wants to do in our lives. So let's ask the question, what is the fruit of the Spirit? So we read the list, and I will say it this way. The fruit of the Spirit is the character of Jesus Christ, the personality of Jesus Christ developing, growing on the inside of us as we mature. Now, the moment you got saved, Christ himself took up residence in your heart. Isn't that awesome? You prayed a prayer. You said, "Dear Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I can't do this myself. I'm lost in my sins. Lord, I turn myself over to you. Come and live inside me. Save me, Lord." And at that very instant, just that fast, the Lord took up residence in you. But he did not utterly, completely change you in that moment. He changed you by coming to live on the inside of you. But there are still attitudes and characteristics in you and in me that God is fast at work trying to change. How many have noticed that God is trying to change you? All right. He is trying to change you. And why? He wants you to become more like Christ. And how does he do it? He does it through a growth process, a maturing process that involves the Holy Spirit doing a deep work in us, and it involves nine fruits of the Spirit, or nine characteristics of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. Let's go through the list, see if I can help you understand this just a little bit more. Number one, Paul said, the fruit of the Spirit is love. This is an unconditional kind of love that produces action. I like that love is not a feeling, it is an action. I call it goodwill in gear. Love is not something we just feel. Love is something that we do, and it's unconditional. I don't know if you know this, but whether you're a good little boy or a good little girl, God still loves you. And he loves you unconditionally. He loves you when you obey him, and he loves you when you disobey him. And he will bless you and help you by dealing with you and teaching you to obey him out of his great love for you. Love is a characteristic of Christ. And when the Holy Spirit is in your life, he is teaching you to love. He is also teaching you about his joy. That's the second thing that he wants to do. Joy is a deep sense of pleasure in response to God's grace. Now, listen. If you're still trying to earn your way into God's love, there isn't going to be much joy in your life. If you're constantly trying to prove to God that you're a good person and that he should love you and that you deserve his blessings, then you're probably an exhausted and joyless Christian. But once you discover that God loves you unconditionally, that grace comes into your heart and you go, wow, I can actually enjoy life. I'm not going to live like a crazy person sinning all the time. I want to be pleasing to God, but I'm going to enjoy life. And there's a joy that the Holy Spirit brings, a deep sense of pleasure in response to God's grace. Another one is peace. The third one is peace. And peace is described as a mutual harmony and rest in all relationships. Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? That would have made Thanksgiving just a whole lot better. Wouldn't that have been great if we could have just had some mutual harmony and rest in all of our relationships. I'm going to promise you something. As you surrender to the Holy Spirit, he's going to do something in your relationships. He's going to give you great peace with God. He's going to give you peace with your past. And he's going to give you peace with your neighbor and your spouse and your brother and your mother. And he's going to do that. The fourth one is patience. Uh-oh. Let me hurry through that one because I'm out of time. No, I'm just kidding. I can't. Patience and even temper in the face of what? How many of you, just be honest, you got a little irritated for one reason or another just this last week? You just got a little irritated. All right. That does happen. Sure. I think sometimes we think Thanksgiving's just going to be this amazing, everybody's going to love each other and we're going to speak kind words to each other. There's going to be no tension and the food is going to come out perfect. And we get this idealized idea of what Christmas is going to be, Thanksgiving's going to be. We do the same thing with marriage. Oh, I'm finally married. It's going to be perfect. I finally had a child. It's going to be so easy and fun. And we just get irritated when it isn't just everything we thought that it was going to be. Life will throw you some curveballs. And you've got to, now here's where the Holy Spirit will help you have an even temper in the face of those things that are just kind of irritating and maybe disappointing to you, and the people that are irritating and disappointing. Patience and even temper. Then there's kindness. Oh, I think, try a little kindness, right? Try a little tenderness, a sweetness that puts others at ease. Do you think this is a disappearing trait in our world? I do. I think right now people are so very selfish that they don't take time to put other people at ease. They don't take time to make people feel comfortable. That kindness is something we need. Goodness is an unexpectedly big and selfless heart. I love that. Oh, Lord, make us people that are filled with the goodness of the Holy Spirit. And then there's faithfulness. That's number 7, a reliability born out of conviction. You know what? That's the bottom line in life, is are you faithful? God will reward your faithfulness, and the kind of faithfulness that we need is a faithfulness that's born out of a conviction. You know what? God really spoke about this. God really has a plan for this area of my life. God really placed me here to do this, so I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to be faithful to it. Now, in our own strength, we'll burn out, we'll run out of juice on that one really fast. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us and change us, He makes us super faithful. And can I say this to you? I see this in you. In fact, I see these qualities in God's people all the time. All the time. The gentleness, the goodness, the patience. I see sometimes when we fail, and I look at myself and I go, man, I blew that one. I should be better at this, or I should do this right. But at the same time, God is working in every one of our lives. And I don't want one single person in this room to feel discouraged right now. When you look at this list and you think, man, here goes another list of things that I'm just not any good at. I'm such a failure. That's not it at all. God is doing this in your heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? God is growing you to become more like Christ on the inside. And He who began a good work in you, He will accomplish it. You may not be the best person at faithfulness or the best person at patience today, but I promise you, you're getting better. Amen? Do you receive that? As you allow the Holy Spirit, you just give yourself and say, come, Holy Spirit, work this change in my life. Make me more like Jesus. That's not going to happen overnight. But if you're faithful to God and you put your trust in Him, God's going to change who you are. He's going to make you faithful. He's going to make you gentle. Wow. This is a beautiful, a spectacular fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness is a humility that never harms. And number 9, the 9th fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control. Not remote control. Self-control, where we show patience, which is the strength to master your impulses. You might think, man, if I was really a Christian, I wouldn't have this impulse. I just feel like cussing. Or I just feel like giving that gal a piece of my mind. I just want to, you know, and you think, what's wrong with me that I would have that impulse? But you know, you're human. And on your best day, all you are ever going to be, as filled with the Holy Spirit as you can ever get, as close to Jesus as you are ever going to be, you're still on that day only going to be human. And sometimes you're going to have an impulse that you're not proud of. So what do? That's where self-control, and you want to say something. And the Holy Spirit gives you the ability not to say it. And you go, wow, I made it through that. I was able to keep my cool. I'm not proud that I wanted to punch her in the face, but I didn't punch her in the face. And that's it. How many understand what I'm talking about? We all have impulses. Come on, let's be honest here. We all have impulses. Don't look at me like you don't have any impulses. I can't see what you're doing on Saturday night, but God can see it. And so those impulses come, right? And it's the Holy Spirit that holds us together and keeps us walking holy. And that kind of strength only the Lord could provide. How many would like to have more of these things in your life? So we just say, Lord, come and fill us with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Make us more like Christ. This issue of patience, I mean, self-control, holding it together when you're under pressure. It reminds me of this guy who's walking down the aisles with his child at the Safeway store, and this kid was just going bananas. I mean, this kid was pulling cans off the shelf, and he was screaming, and that kid was having one of those days, right? And he was just kind of tearing the place apart and fussing and crying, and he's a young father, and everybody, you know, all the other shoppers are kind of trying not to look at the baby. You know, they're walking around and trying to, you know, not embarrass the guy too much. But one lady was just watching how this guy handled it. And she just overheard him saying, "Easy now, Donald. Take it easy. It's okay, Donald. It's going to be okay, Donald. Hold it together, Donald. It's going to be fine." And she was just marveling at this, because this kid was screaming. And she thought, this guy's handling this baby so beautifully. And so she said, "Wow, you're really controlling yourself. Here the baby is screaming," and she bends down and she says to Donald, "Donald, what's the matter?" And the father says, No, that's not Donald, that's Henry. I'm Donald. Take it easy, Donald. Keep breathing, Donald. Everything's gonna be okay, Donald." How many have had one of those days, right? You say, "Come, Holy Spirit, and help me. This person's making me crazy, or this traffic jam, or whatever it is." And you know, you really have a choice to yield to the Holy Spirit or to just kind of go with your impulses. It's all about learning to be more like Christ. See, God's got you on a program. You don't know it. But God's got you surrounded by people that are provoking opportunities on a daily basis for you to react according to this list or not. And that program is called conforming you to the image of Christ. It's Romans 8:29. We've seen it before. The Message translation says, "God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him." How many love the Lord? Okay, if you love the Lord, he's got you on the potter's wheel right now. He decided from the very beginning that if you were going to love him, he was going to shape your life along the same lines as the life of his son. In other words, you're thinking, "God, this person is got me down to my last nerve. They are pressing me on this area." And God is saying, "That's not them pressing you. That's me. I'm moving in on this temper of yours, or I'm moving in on your faith, or I'm moving in on your need to control everything. And I have sent this person or this circumstance or whatever to push in on your need to control and your need to have it your way so that I can do a deeper work in you." And you say, "Lord, I just want a miracle. I just want a healing. I just want the power." And God says, "I got that. But we're going to start with your heart deep inside." Because it's not just enough for God to do the gifts of the Holy Spirit in your life. He wants to have the fruit of the Spirit in your character. He's shaping you. So you are right now on his potter's wheel. He's pushing, he's shaping, he's cupping, he's lifting, he's moving things around in your life in order to make you like Christ. This, incidentally, is God's eternal plan for every single person. For everyone who loves him, he is challenging them, he is conforming them, he is requiring them to change, and that sometimes is very painful. We're going to talk this next month in our church about Christmas. We're ready to celebrate Christmas. And, you know, the beautiful story of Christmas is that Jesus, God, the Word, became flesh, right? He became human. Did you know Jesus was fully human? I wonder what that means for you and I to be fully human. And yet, God really able to manifest himself in us. Jesus is the picture of that. He was fully human. He was fully God. But he came in flesh. And what God wants to do is not make you superhuman. You're human. And that isn't going to change. But God is going to make you an anointed human being like Jesus Christ. And he does that through the power of his Holy Spirit working at a deep level in our character and changing us. And I'll say it this way. Jesus became like us. He became human so that we could, what? Become like him. You know, this is really the gospel in a nutshell right here. This is the message of the gospel. God became like us so that we could become like him. God is changing you, and he's using pressures and circumstances to do his work in you. So don't resist him. He's doing it through the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, it's as the Spirit of the Lord works, as the Spirit of the Lord works, how as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, that's when we become more and more like him and reflect his glory even more. I love miracles. I love prophecies. I love all kinds of supernatural things. But one of the most supernatural things that's going to happen in our life ever is the deep work of the Holy Spirit changing who we are. Not just changing how we feel or what we're experiencing or changing our world. Say, Lord, I want this to change. I want this to move. I want that. And God is able to move stuff around you like that fast. But sometimes he leaves things because he's interested not in changing our circumstance as much as he is changing our heart. Can I have an amen? Amen. So we need the Holy Spirit's help during those times. And he works in us. And what he's doing is he's doing this. The helper is cultivating Christ's character in us as we follow the Lord. Everyone say cultivating. Doesn't that say to you that it's not going to be instant? Here's where I don't want you to get frustrated. You look at that list and you say, man, I have a long way to go. I am a mess, right? And here's what I would say. It's fruit. It's not instantaneous. It's cultivated in your heart over the process of time. So you're doing just fine. Just hang in there. Keep trusting God. Keep yielding to the Lord. Keep allowing the Holy Spirit to do his work. And he is going to do the changing. All right, now, I want to finish this message by giving you three simple points. We're going to have some prayer in just a minute, have a chance to sing some song, and maybe just encounter just a moment of the Holy Spirit's touch at the end of this message. But I want to say this to us, that there is a fruit that God desires to bring forth in every one of our lives, this fruit of the Holy Spirit, and how does he do it? Let's get real for a minute. How can we cooperate starting today with this process of change? I want to start with John 15, 16. Jesus said this, you didn't choose me, I chose you. And you know what? I'm having the same feeling in this service that I had in the first service when I read this verse. So I'm just going to say this. I feel like this is a prophetic word for a number of people in this room. Some of you have been saying, Lord, I need to hear from you. I need to know what you're saying to me right now. I believe Jesus would say this to us. I'm choosing you. You didn't choose me. I'm choosing you, and I have faith in you. I believe the Lord would say, I have a calling on your life, that you would be fruitful. And you might have taken yourself out of that. You might have said, it's too late for me. My life's too messed up. Things got way out of control, and I'm a mess. But still, I hear the Lord saying, I'm choosing you. And I really want you to catch that if that's you, that you're saying, I really want to know what God has for me. I believe God is about to bring you into a beautiful place through the Holy Spirit of using you. And I think that's what it's all about, is that fruit that God wants to produce in our lives. Now, I'm not a person of a green thumb. I'm not a great person. I like things that don't need a lot of care when it comes to the garden and all of that. I like to just put it in the hole and have somebody else fertilize it, and then it looks nice and I'm happy. Some of you enjoy gardening. I was commissioned by my father. When I misbehaved, I had to do extra gardening. So for me, gardening is like a form of punishment. In fact, the greatest sound that I've ever heard in my life is the sound of someone else cutting my grass. That is just like pure heaven to me. It's just like, I would pay twice for it. Don't tell my gardener, but I would pay twice as much just to hear that sound as I lay on my couch, somebody else cutting and trimming. It's just like heaven to me. But anyway, what I'm saying is, What I'm saying is that this much I do know about gardening and fruit and growing things, that when something is growing, it's because the environment is right. The nutrients are there. There's enough water. There's enough shade. There's enough sun. It's like an intersection of a whole variety of environmental conditions that have to be right for something to thrive. What are the environmental conditions that are necessary for you to thrive? What are the things that are most important for you to be fruitful and to be who God is creating you to be? I want to give you three of them, all right? Number one, stay connected to Jesus. That's the environment in which you will grow and you will bear great fruit. How's your Jesus time been? How's your time with the Lord been? I'm not talking about 4 hours of prayer every day or some crazy thing. But is there a sacred space in your life for Jesus? Just staying connected to him? He said this, "I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. Stay joined to me. Stay connected to me. Just as a branch cannot produce fruit unless it stays joined to the vine, you cannot produce fruit unless you what? Stay joined." So if you want God to use you, and I know you do, the number one way to allow the Lord to use you is to be in relationship with him. And all ministry is the product of intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. So keep the environment right. Stay connected to Jesus. By the way, I'll say this. Fruit is not grown for our benefit. Have you stopped to think about this? If fruit is developing in your life, that's not for you to eat. Who's the fruit really for? The fruit is for other people. So I want to encourage you to stay connected to Christ so that other people, the people around you, can be fed and blessed by who you are. Stay connected to Jesus. The next thing is obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit. If you really want to have an environment where God can just do crazy, fruitful things in your life, learn this secret. When God prompts you, when he nudges you to do something, to call somebody, or to do something, even if it's unusual or it seems ordinary or it seems way out there, if God is prompting you to do it, do it. Because that's called the Spirit-led life. You know, being prompted by the Lord, you're not in this by yourself. You don't have to like figure out how to do life. The Holy Spirit is your helper. If he prompts you to go home, husband, with some flowers in your hand, and you think, well, that couldn't be God. It's not our birthday, and it's not Valentine's Day, and we're kind of short financially this month. Anyway, I'm not going to do it. No, but if you just feel you're driving home, stop at Safeway and get flowers. Guess what, guys? Do it. And all the women said, because your world just got better. The Holy Spirit prompted you to do. You felt you should call somebody. You felt you should give in an offering. Whatever those promptings are, the environment for you to be crazy fruitful is like this. You are doing what the Lord is prompting you to do. And you're going to find when you start doing what God is guiding you to do, it is like amazing the fruit that will be born in your life through that process. Galatians 5:16 says, "Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives." Now, that's not just for charismatic people. That's for all Christians. This is all of us. That's not every one of us. The Holy Spirit wants to guide us. And I'll say it like this. We are mature. How do you know when you're really grown up? You're really grown up when you stop arguing with those promptings. When you stop saying, "Well, I don't think that's God. I don't think that's the Lord. I don't think those guys know what to do. I don't think that's God." When you stop fighting with all that stuff, and go, you know what? I'm going to live guided and led by the Holy Spirit and believe that people around me are being guided by the Holy Spirit. That's when we're growing up and the Holy Spirit actually takes over in our lives. Do you receive that? Okay, there's one more thing that's going to make us crazy, super fruitful. That's number three, to trust the Holy Spirit to do the changing, okay? Just go to the third one, please. Yeah, trust the Holy Spirit, excellent, to do the changing. We started with this in Galatians 5:22. Look at it carefully one last time as we come to the end of this message. But when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, He will produce. Who will produce? He will. The Holy Spirit will produce this kind of fruit in us, and then the nine fruits of the Spirit are listed. My point being this, let God do the changing in your life. You may have made yourself crazy. You may have exhausted yourself trying to do it in your own strength. But here's a little advice for you. If you will make the choice, just make the choice, God will make the change. If you say, now we're coming to, you know, we're coming to January and that pesky time of New Year's resolutions and all that. I'm okay with a little more self-control, a little more discipline, a little, you know, making a few decisions in our will to make life better. That's good. But if you also have to supply the power to make your resolution come to pass, you and I are dead. Here's how it works really the best. You make the choice, Lord, I'm going to stop cussing. Lord, I'm going to stop gossiping. I'm not going to use my mouth to spread fear and lies and negativity about other people. I'm going to stop that, Lord. I make that choice. Lord, I'm going to be a husband. I'm going to be a real father. As you make that choice, then you say, Holy Spirit, would you please come in and make the change in me? And as you do that, you'll be experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit. Would you stand with me, everybody? I don't want you to feel discouraged today by any list that God gives you. He does give us this list, and this is the bullseye. I mean, this is where we want to be, guys. Let's make no mistake. We need to be like Christ. We need to be loving. We need to have more joy, more gentleness, more kindness. And that's what we really want. That's what's going to make our world better. It's going to make our relationships better. But also keep in mind this. This is a process. Growing a vineyard isn't done overnight. As you yield to the Holy Spirit, He's going to give you the grace and He's going to give you the strength to be who Christ has died so that you could be. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, I just pray right now for your mighty power. Lord, we want you to come and fill our hearts with more and more of who Jesus is. Forgive us, Lord, that we often pray for miracles and we often pray for things to change, but we forget that our hearts really need to change. And I, Lord, I know that many of us are on that potter's wheel right now, and we're feeling the nudges and we're feeling the pressures, and Lord, you're trying to create something fresh in us. Help us to relax into that process. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would not just bless us on the outside of our life, but you would do a deep, deep work. We are hungry for you, Holy Spirit. We are hungry to be more and more like Christ. And so we say together, Lord, please come. Please, Holy Spirit, fill us. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Let's sing together.
Ooh, all who are thirsty.
Sing it again, all who are thirsty.
dip your heart in the streams of life, the pain and the sorrow be washed away.
See wounds that God is dressing. I see like a Holy Spirit Bactine that he's just applying into the disappointments, that he's just flushing through the hurt, and he's disinfecting a tender place in many people's hearts right now. Even today, pain has been trying to come up, and hurt has been trying to come up. Disappointment, I would say, like forms of disappointment, let down. And I just see the Lord just medicating that tender place, just that hurting wound in us. And he's disinfecting it. And the Lord says, you will not become bitter. You will not lose your ministry. You will not lose your place in me, says the Lord, because I'm healing you and I'm putting you back together and I'm stitching you up, and you're going to walk again. You're going to run for me, says the Lord, and I'm going to use you, and I'm going to restore to you the joy that you lost in this past season of time. Let me medicate. Let me cleanse out the wound. Let me put you back together and see. Watch what I will do as I raise you up for my glory. I will restore the joy of your salvation. I will cause you to run again for me, says the Lord. Father, I thank you right now that you would just medicate every single one of us. Lord, flush through us with the mighty power of the Holy Spirit, healing broken hearts, and Lord, replacing, Lord, dead things with new things, Lord. Father, replant and bring new life, Lord. Let the sun shine again, Lord, where we seem to have lost track of the sun. Let it shine again, Father. Fill us with the Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. And all the people said amen. Amen. We're going to dismiss you in just a moment, but just don't go anywhere. I want to say a prayer with you just before you go. And as we get ready to say this prayer, I'd like to invite our prayer teams just to get out of your seat and just come, because, you know, people have come today and they've said, if I just had somebody to pray with me, if I could just talk to somebody. These prayer teams that are coming right now, a few elders, a few of our intercessors, some of our small group leaders will be here at the end of the service just to be available to talk to you and pray with you and help you along the way with your spiritual life. If you're not sure about your own relationship with Christ, I pray that you will be deeply settled in it today. I'm giving my life to Christ. I'm following him. I'm living for his purpose. I'm allowing him to change me. Let's say this prayer aloud together. Everyone listening to my voice, come on, here we go. Father God, thank you for sending the helper to change me deep inside. More than anything, I want to be like Jesus. I confess that I cannot change myself. Without you, Lord, I could never produce good fruit. Holy Spirit, oh, that's so good. Say it again. Holy Spirit, I surrender create supernatural life in me, in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody. I love you. Thank you for coming today. I'm glad we could be together. Take a minute and just reach out in love to somebody nearby. Greet one another. And if you're interested in information on hosting, please go to the Inspired Life table for hosting the Inspired Life. God bless.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.